In our reading today from Genesis, God, who has called Abram and his wife Sarai from their home to a new land, establishes the divine covenant to make them the ancestors of a new people, even though they remain childless in their old age. The promise is sealed by ritual sacrifice, which was the custom of making irrevocable covenants in the ancient Near East. Abram refrains, however, from burning the sacrificial animals himself. Instead, he waits for God's action to provide the fire to complete the ritual, which signifies Abram's abiding faith in God's promise and power. God's response to Abram's faith, reckoned to him as righteousness, will make him and Sarai the forebears of all Israel and the spiritual ancestors of three great world religions: Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. In Lent, we are reminded by this foundational text to follow Abram's example by placing our complete faith in God and the divine promises made to us through Christ. A reading from Genesis. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." But Abram said, "O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus." And Abram said, "You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir." But the word of the Lord came to him, "This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir." He brought him outside and said, "Look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them." Then he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Then he said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess." But he said, "O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it?" He said to him, "Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." He brought him all these and cut them in two, laying each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a deep and terrifying darkness descended upon him. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, a smoking firepot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "To your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates." Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Let's say together Psalm 27. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid? When evildoers come upon me to eat up my flesh, it was they, my foes and my adversaries, who stumbled and fell. Though an army should encamp against me, yet my heart shall not be afraid. And though war should rise up against me, yet will I put my trust in him. One thing have I asked of the Lord, one thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the fair beauty of the Lord, and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he shall keep me safe in his shelter. He shall hide me in the secrecy of his dwelling and set me high upon a rock. Even now he lifts up my head above my enemies round about me. Therefore I will offer in his dwelling an oblation with sounds of great gladness. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hearken to my voice, O Lord, when I call. Have mercy on me and answer me. You speak in my heart and say, seek my face. Your face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not your face from me, nor turn away your servant in displeasure. You have been my helper. Cast me not away. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. Though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will sustain me. Show me your way, O Lord. Lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Deliver me not into the hand of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen up against me, and also those who speak malice. What if I had not believed that I should see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living? O tarry and wait the Lord's pleasure. Be strong, and he shall comfort your heart. Wait patiently for the Lord.
Philippi, the Macedonian city on the north coast of the Aegean Sea, was the home of an early Christian community founded by Paul and Timothy in the middle of the first century. Paul, who is writing from prison, warns and encourages the community to remain faithful, even in the face of threats from persecutions, as he himself has been done. Our baptism, it has given them a new identity in Christ. The joy of that new identity would inspire in them a steadfast faith in their heavenly citizenship, which no worldly power can remove. A reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, join me in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you even with tears, their end is destruction. Their God is the belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation, and it may be conformed to the body in his glory by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Savior, Jesus Christ, according to you. Some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way. Because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Gospel of our Savior.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Good morning, everyone.
Please be seated.
Reset and realignment, of putting one's heart in the right place, and of reorienting our lives around the things that are most important to us, despite obstacles. I'd argue, therefore, that deep compassion imbues Lent, compassion that, with feeling, which is the etymological meaning of compassion, allows us to rebind ourselves to the essentials in life and in God. And rebinding, we might also remember, is the root word of religio, or religion. So here we are in our calendar's annual Lenten season, where the ritual invitation is for us to take stock, strip back, and come to clarity as individuals and as a society about what our priorities are and how we might better lean into or live into them. On the heels of last week's gospel passage from Luke, where we saw Jesus resisting temptation in the wilderness, today we witness more of his crystal clear coherence when, despite death threats, he tells us that nothing, nothing can destabilize his daily ministry of care. Jesus' unwavering resolve around what must be done in terms of caretaking, love, and healing tells us unequivocally that his heart is in the right place. Ergo, despite the terrifying times, Jesus knows that there is work to be done and nothing will stop him from doing it. He won't be intimidated and humanity won't be denied. Even if he has to overthrow the presumption of power in imperial politics. Jesus is wise to the politics of his day, and his disapproval is made evident in today's passage, both when he calls Herod a fox and when he states that Jerusalem has a record of hostility towards prophets. Pope Francis reflected in a 2016 homily that Jesus, in fact, loses his patience in this rebuke. And most certainly, nothing here is sugar-coated. Jesus, after all, is intimating that there will be consequences for Jerusalem's rejection of love and healing. Through God's abandonment, which is perhaps a foreshadowing of the temple's later destruction. Through Jesus' rebuke, we come to see Jerusalem then as not just a metaphor for that which is resistant to the promise of life's healing and centeredness of heart, but it is also a paradox, a city chosen and made sacred by God, but marked by a history of rejecting his messengers. That being said, there is much more to our gospel passage than admonition, and Jesus' change of tone is notable as he cries out in lament about Jerusalem's leaders' tragic refusal to come right with life. In other words, Jesus is pained in his sorrow, while his response evokes the compassion of a mother trying to defend her babies with her body. There is such vulnerability and intimacy in the image of Jesus as a hen who spreads her wings and exposes her belly and heart in order to protect. And I believe it was Saint Augustine who first wrote about this as a maternal image, highlighting the tender love of Christ. Later, in the Middle Ages, this aspect of Christ would become central to theology, giving rise to iconography that emphasized such things as the female wound on Jesus' side, made by a centurion's spear. It also gave rise to the emergence of female mystics, such as Dame Julie of Norwich and Mechtild of Magdeburg, who emphasized and basked in the maternal God. For myself, as well as for other women, the hen image undoubtedly evokes the motherhood of God, which relieves and restores us whilst reminding us of Jesus' embodiment of and commitment to steadfast love as his way of human being. Not even the authority of kings could diminish his way. Neither could devilish inducements, threats of death, or indeed death itself. Human healing through divine love was all. The passion and steadfastness imbued in this unfathomable measure of love reminds me of what in native traditions is called the giveaway, where it is understood that when those with very little give away all that they have, it is a very big gift indeed. So too do I see the measure of this love in the environmental and social justice work all around me. Because while folks are literally devoting their lives to our human, planetary, and spiritual healing, they often do so in full awareness that any results from their care work will likely not be seen in their lifetimes. This then is a giveaway that seeks nothing in return. And like Jesus' love, it is radically, meaning from the root, unconditional. This, I believe, gets to the heart of not only our Lenten season, but to the heart of Christianity itself. What is our tradition about? Well, it's about life love and caring at our core about God and about each other. Jesus shows us over and over that to love and care for each other is to love God. And so at Lent, lest we have gotten off track just a little bit, we are given the time and grace to come back to center so as to remember ourselves to creation. Lent, then, is when we get to recommit ourselves to the work of healing. Despite the many challenges, and regardless of whether individually we will ever get to see the results of our care. As today's gospel passage affirms, Jesus fortifies us in our care for the world. And truly, from my heart I ask you, what else is there to give ourselves away to? Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon podcast from the Episcopal Church of Our Savior, Mill Valley, California. We are a growing community welcoming those seeking to deepen their relationship with God and to journey in faith with God's people through the breaking of bread and in service to others in Christ's name. You may reach us by phone at 415-388-1907. Search for us online or at Facebook, or visit our website at cosmv.org. We wish you God's peace. We hope to greet you in person very soon.